This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it. It is Tuesday. Thanks for dialing it in this hour of the Steve Gruber Show, brought to you by the Michigan 529 programs, making sure your kids and grandkids get the education they need. To learn more, go to savewithmi529.com. That's savewithmi529.com. MI529.com. Just make sure we're clear on that. I don't know if you saw this, but the people behind the Planned Parenthood videos, these horrible videos showing Planned Parenthood personnel having lunch while talking about cutting up babies. Yeah, the folks that made the videos have now been indicted. They've been indicted for buying fetal parts illegally, yet the court didn't indict those that were selling the body parts. David DeLeiden, the man who helped create the series of Planned Parenthood videos showing the organization accepted money for body parts of babies, filed a motion this past Friday to allow him to submit his evidence to the Supreme Court in a major abortion regulation case. Now, that was denied. There's a restraining order on him showing these videos, apparently even to the Supreme Court. Pretty crazy, eh? Meanwhile, yesterday, he and one of the other folks that he works with was indicted for creating these videos, a big win for Planned Parenthood, but who, by the way, Bernie Sanders said last night he will be giving more money to. But a grand jury convened to investigate whether the Houston Planned Parenthood Clinic had sold the organs of aborted babies, cleared the clinic, and indicted the undercover videographers behind the allegation. The Harris County grand jury indicted David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt, both of California, on charges of tampering with a government record, a second-degree felony with a possible sentence of up to 20 years in prison. It also charged DeLeiden, the leader of the videographers, with the same misdemeanor he had alleged, the purchase or sale of human organs, presumably because he had offered to buy in an attempt to provoke Planned Parenthood employees into saying that they would sell, which they did. Harris County District Attorney Devin Anderson announced the indictments in a statement noting the probe had lasted more than 2 months. As I stated at the outset of this investigation, we must go where the evidence leads. All the evidence uncovered in the course of this investigation was presented to the grand jury. I respect their decision on this difficult case. An arrest warrant was issued late Monday. Documents detailing the charges were expected to be available sometime today. The Center for Medical Progress uses the same undercover techniques that investigative journalists have used for decades in exercising our First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and of the press, and follows all applicable laws, according to a statement from the Center for Medical Progress. Planned Parenthood still cannot deny the admissions from their leadership about fetal organ sales captured on video for all the world to see. Planned Parenthood, however, denies any such admissions or wrongdoing, calling the videos heavily edited and saying it has never profited from selling fetal tissue. Maybe not profited the way they would think, but it has been sold, that's for sure. On the hotline is Frank in DeWitt today. Frank, welcome to the program.
Morning, Steve. This isn't the United States anymore. This is Democrat land. That's what it is. This is just complete barbarism, and the people who are trying to expose it, this is, the country now where the good people get persecuted and the evil blood money butchers get protected and get more money. All I have to say to the people out there is, folks, the Democratic Party is going to take your soul. I mean, what do you have to do? What do you have to be to vote for people like this? I mean, what does that say about you?
Let me ask you something,
Frank. If this is the kind of worldview that you embrace, that you vote for a candidate like Hillary Clinton, who's proudly backs Planned Parenthood, she says.
Well, Bernie Sanders says he'll spend more money on them. Now, hold on right there.
Yeah,
I have a question for you. Hold on, Frank. Hold on. Let me ask you something. If Donald Trump is your nominee on the Republican side, will you vote for him?
For Donald Trump?
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, isn't Donald Trump at least now saying he's pro-life?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely vote. Right now, my pick is Ted Cruz. But if Donald Trump wins the election, or the nomination, I will cheerfully vote for Donald Trump. Enthusiastically, you got to have some kind of a conscience. People and for minority people, especially black folks, Planned Parenthood was designed by Margaret Sanger to cut down on the mud people.
Well,
the
I understand
mud people
that.
Meaning black people.
Well, she was more specific
and if you
about
folks
that.
Out there don't believe me, look them up.
Yeah, Margaret Sanger was a horrible individual. She lived until the 1960s, and she is the mother of Planned Parenthood. Thank you for checking in, Frank. Greatly appreciate
it. Thank you, Steve.
Meanwhile, back in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott and Attorney General Ken Paxton also ordered their own investigation into Planned Parenthood, and they released statements after this ruling was handed down. The fact remains that the videos exposed a horrific nature of abortion and the shameful disregard for human life of the abortion industry, so said Attorney General Ken Paxton. Planned Parenthood officials declared victory, however, saying they felt vindicated for being cleared by the lengthy nonpartisan investigation. It's great news because it demonstrates what we have said from the very beginning, which is that Planned Parenthood is following every rule and regulation. These people came into our buildings under the guise of health when their true intentions were to spread lies. Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast previously has acknowledged donating fetal tissue in 2010, but has said it did not make any profit and then has not donated since. But the problems for Planned Parenthood, that seed has been planted. There are moves underfoot in Congress to defund Planned Parenthood. There are moves in other states to investigate Planned Parenthood clinics in their states and what is being done and whether or not babies are being, well, dismembered, chopped up and sold, frankly, for research or whatever else. So Planned Parenthood can claim victory. But at the end of the day here, the Center for Medical Progress has made a huge difference in the abortion discussion. They certainly have, and whether you like them or hate them, they've made a difference in the discussion, in the conversation. We'll, of course, keep an eye on that as we go forward. Still to come today, we've got our good friend Dr. John Lott. He'll be here with us, and Liz Peek will be here, one of my favorites as well, from Fox News. She's straight ahead. Sit tight right there. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Welcome back to it, my friends. It's the Steve Gruber Show. You know, maybe we should offer some sort of a giveaway. It just occurs to me. For those of you that are becoming friends of the Steve Gruber Show on Facebook and voting in the Gruber primary there. Donald Trump holding the lead now. Ted Cruz in second place. That's for the Republicans. On the Democratic side, kind of odd because, I don't know if people are just messing with me, but Martin O'Malley leading among the Democrats. The only Republican not to receive a vote so far, and there have been a few hundred cast, Jeb Bush is without a solitary vote thus far. If you're a Jeb Bush supporter, you got a few. You better get to Facebook. Save face a little bit. If you missed the last, the Democrats added this town hall deal. I think because they're trying to protect Hillary and trying to bolster her candidacy, because all of a sudden they went from 6 get-togethers to 7, a last-minute deal. Oh, we better have one more in Iowa. Really? Is that because Bernie Sanders is leading in the polls? At any rate, Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, former mayor of Baltimore, who's garnering 1 or 2% of the vote consistently, deep in third place, hoping for a train wreck up front. He took the stage and said that our number one problem is roll the tape.
But you know what I believe is the biggest issue that I think you should be concerned about as a young person who has more time on this planet than I do? And that is climate change. Climate change is the greatest business opportunity to come to the United States in 100 years. And I am the first candidate in either party to put forward a plan to move us to a 100% clean electric energy grid by 2050 and create 5 million jobs along the way.
Okay,
and
stop.
It's a big differentiator among the three of us.
All right, stop. I mean, not only will he create 5 million jobs, he'll get rid of 25 million others. It is a financial disaster for which there is no explanation, not logical, not rational. But listen to those people. It's climate change. As New York City digs out from, what, 25 or 30 inches of snow. The two biggest snowstorms, two of the three biggest snowstorms in New York City history have happened in the last 10 years. Well, Steve, that's because of climate change. Please. Let's see. That's enough of Martin O'Malley. I can't take it. Let's see. We were just talking about Planned Parenthood. Bernie Sanders spent time talking about Planned Parenthood last night. Says he strongly supports these organizations. Here's what he has to say.
I have a 100% pro-choice voting record. In every speech that I give, what I say is not only do we stop the Republican efforts to try to defund Planned Parenthood, we should expand funding for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, let's have more abortion. Yes. More abortion.
Now, what I said on a television program, and I did not say it well, is that sometimes the base of an organization looks at the world a little bit differently than the leadership. So if you have 100% Planned Parenthood voting record, 100% pro-choice voting record, there are people who are asking, why is the leadership not either supporting Bernie Sanders or why are they, opposing him?
Margaret Sanger.
And my point is,
Margaret Sanger was more racist than the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. The woman that founded and laid the foundation for Planned Parenthood, who called black people weeds in America, and mud races, and all sorts of other just disgusting, disparaging things. Margaret Sanger, more vile, more racist, more vulgar in her thinking than those that founded the Ku Klux Klan. And if you think I'm wrong, you just go do a little reading on your own. Let's see. And finally, your hero and mine, Hillary Clinton, fought against inequality. She's been there since the beginning, trying to, make sure that rich people, are parted from their money. Roll it.
I think it's fair to say that I have a 40-year record of going after inequality. And not only racial inequality, sexist inequality, homophobic inequality, the kinds of things that go after people to put them down and push them back. When you focus just narrowly on economic inequality, I've also been in that fight. I was in that fight during my husband's administration, and let's remember what happened there. At the end of 8 years, we not only had 23 million new jobs, what was most important is incomes grew for everybody, not just those at the top. More people were lifted out of poverty. Incomes rose in the middle and working people. And today in Knoxville, in my town hall, I called on a man and he said, we never had it so good, except when your husband was president, because we tackled income inequality and produced results. Not talk, action. And that's what I will do as president.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating bunch, aren't they? Fascinating. Income inequality. What they want is the poor to be poorer. their Marxist socialist policies. What they want is the poor to be poor. But as long as that inequality, that gap between those that have money and those that have little, as long as that gap is smaller, it's okay if the poor get poorer. You don't build yourself up by knocking somebody else down, but the Democrats, these Marxists, they don't understand that premise. They have some notion that somehow if somebody pays their fair share, whatever that means, and what is my fair share of what I earned? What is the fair share that I'm supposed to give to you? Is it 20%? Is it half? Is it 3/4? What is this fair share you speak of? And how much of the money that I earned am I supposed to give to you as part of your fair share? It's Tuesday on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
It's Tuesday here in the program. 6 days to go now before folks show up in Iowa. And like I've been telling you, and I will continue to tell you for a couple more days, please stop by the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page. Cast your vote for which Republican you would select if you're going to vote for Republicans. If you're a Democrat, please cast your votes for your favorite Democrat. 10 Republicans on the list. 3 Democrats. We've had a few hundred votes cast so far. And strangely enough, only one person has gotten no votes. And that's Jeb Bush. I don't understand. Anyhow, Donald Trump with 41% of the vote, roughly. Ted Cruz at about 34-35%. And Marco Rubio, 15%, give or take. So it looks, what's happening on our Facebook page looks pretty similar to what's happening out there in Iowa, New Hampshire, and elsewhere. Our next guest, by the way, indicates that maybe Donald Trump should send a thank you note to Ted Cruz. Because she says Ted Cruz makes Donald Trump look acceptable, at least in some ways. One of my favorites, Liz Peek, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times, joining us again. Liz, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Yeah, so Ted Cruz has been called, one of the smartest people ever, constitutionalist, knows, all sorts of things. But you open your piece with maybe Ted Cruz isn't the smartest guy on the planet after all. Now, why do you say that?
Well, I think because his campaign has been hit by a couple of stumbles over the last couple of weeks. And the really astonishing thing is that Donald Trump has emerged as a pretty crafty politician. So the setting, of course, is Iowa. And it is very important for both of these candidates to win the caucuses in Iowa, because that is a forum and usually rewards very conservative candidates. Trump wants to win it because his whole appeal and pitch is that he's a winner. He's going to win Iowa and New Hampshire and roll through the rest of the states. For Cruz, it's really his best shot at arriving at a winner's post. So it's really down to the wire. And a couple of weeks ago, Cruz's candidate was really surging, or candidacy was surging in the polls. And Trump took notice of that and started talking about the birther issue. But he did it in such a way, talking about how, he was just trying to help out his good friend Ted Cruz, because you don't want to get too far down this road and have a legal problem and stuff. So it was kind of like a real stab in the back, but, also with a smile.
We have a term for that. We have a term for that in psychology circles. It's called passive aggressive.
It was really genius, I have to say, because, the way Trump did it, he didn't really lose a lot of support from people who might like either one of them, but it did acquaint Iowa voters with the fact that Cruz wasn't born in the U.S. and had just a little bit of a complicated history, with his mother having been married in Canada, appearing on a voter roll up there, which is only for Canadian citizens, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously Cruz all of a sudden was on defense. He was having to explain all of this. And then Trump moved on to the fact that Cruz very stupidly had not reported in the manner that he should have loans taken out for his 2012 campaign from Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. And, of course, the fact that he didn't report them made it look like he was trying to hide something. What is he hiding? Maybe ties to Wall Street. Well, what do you know? His wife is a longtime managing director at Goldman Sachs. So his whole attack on the big banks, et cetera, you know, in his family, after all, his wife has benefited, and he has, too, from the fact that she has been a very successful employee.
Now, hold on. I have to ask you about her there for a minute, Liz, because a lot of articles floating out around about her now in the last couple of days, pointing out that it was, you know, a week or two after he became a U.S. senator that she got her biggest promotion of her career. And how fortuitous is that? I mean, just reading it, you'd kind of sit there, if I'm in Iowa, I'd read it and scratch my head going, now something about that doesn't seem quite right.
Well, look, who knows, right? I don't think that Goldman Sachs has any particular in with Cruz or Texas or whatever. But the reality is, it's pretty hard. By the way, it's really hard for Hillary Clinton, too, to really go on sort of attacking the banks when you have a close relative. In the case of Hillary Clinton's, her son-in-law, working for a hedge fund. In this case, it's Goldman Sachs, et cetera. But I think what began to emerge was a little bit of a narrative that Ted Cruz is a little bit of a phony, that some of this stuff really didn't quite ring true. And look at, let's face it, Cruz has set himself up as this Puritan, not only the only consistent conservative in the group, and of course Rubio and others have attacked some of his seeming flip-flops on immigration and so forth to undermine that message, but also that he is sort of above the fray, above reproach, et cetera. And so, by the way, the headline for this article about making Trump seem acceptable, I'm sure you've seen some stories out in the last week saying, you know, a lot of mainstream Republicans are kind of saying, okay, if it's a choice between these two, I'm going with Trump.
Yeah, those stories are everywhere.
Yeah, and frankly, I hear it, too, from people all over the place. Cruz, it's a pretty strange campaign premise that you're the most unlikable man on the planet, and that's why people should vote for you. And that's a little bit what he has told voters. You know, don't expect me to be the guy you want to have a cup of coffee with. You know, I'm the baddest guy around. So does that win hearts and minds? I don't think so.
No, I mean, you know, Americans generally vote for somebody they like. Now, that poses a problem if, for the sake of argument, it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz versus Hillary Clinton. I mean, people tend to vote for people they like. If you put Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton, people generally don't like either one of them on a variety of levels. Now, you might find things about them you like, but it's not somebody you do. I mean, it's not somebody you want to hang out and have coffee with. And as far as Cruz goes, he's rigid. He's an ideologue. And I like a lot of his ideas. The problem is, if you're that rigid, can you implement any of those ideas, or you just get stonewalled because you won't negotiate with anybody? And again, that comes back to what's being said about Trump. He's a negotiator, and some people say, well, that's a fault, and some people say, to his credit. And I say, to his credit, at least he can make a deal.
Yeah. Well, and I think people have seen, 8 years of paralysis. And by the way, it isn't really, you know, the common theme is it's Republican obstructionism that has really ground our government to a halt. I would argue also Obama has made no effort to overcome that with the kind of personal charm that he has shown in elections, for example, and mainly in elections. But you do need someone who can reach out to Congress, who can work with people. Everybody in Congress honestly hates Ted Cruz, left and right. So, you know, if he's the guy who's supposed to be answering our problems, I don't know. I just don't think he's there.
And a lot of folks support him. The question then becomes, and the question now that's emerging in my mind is, who's going to stand next to Trump if he gets the nomination? And right now, I'm not going to bet against him. Now, if you could hold that thought right there, Liz, I got a few more minutes I'd like to spend with you. Liz Peek with us from the Fiscal Times at FoxNews.com. Her newest article, How Ted Cruz Makes Donald Trump Look Acceptable. The question is, if Donald Trump gets to the top of the heap here, who does he look down the aisle and pick as a running mate? Is it anybody that's on the stage with him? Or is it somebody altogether different? We'll talk about that straight ahead this Tuesday on The Steve Gruber Show.
taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Every time that I look in the mirror, all these lines in my face getting clearer.
All right, welcome back. Something else that I'm having a conversation, a couple of things with Trump here. And we got Liz Peek on the line from Fox News and the Fiscal Times. A couple of things. Number one, is Trump going to skip the get-together? Is in a couple of days the last debate before Iowa because of Megyn Kelly and Fox News? He's floating that out there. First, what do you think about that, Liz? Is he going to just say, I'm not interested, or is he going to try to bury the hatchet? And I don't mean in her head.
I hope not in her head.
Yeah.
I think he is going to have to do this. I mean, look, it's really down to the wire. Everybody knows it. Everyone's going to be watching. I think that it's time that he gets over his umbrage at the fact that Megyn Kelly asked him, frankly, what I thought was a pretty reasonable question. Actually, if you go back and review that first debate where he really got on his high horse and sort of waged this war against Fox News, you know, it's pretty clear that the people were asking reasonable questions, tough questions of everybody, not just Donald Trump. And he has said some pretty horrific things. So to not call him out on that, you know what, that's their job. So I think he should.
Well, you know, he has shown, surprisingly to some, and to me, I guess, on a couple of different occasions, really good instincts when it comes to politics. Just a really good political instincts. When he understands the room, he understands who he's talking to, he understands how to craft a message to get the most out of it, and maybe there's a way in there where he can put the thing with Megyn Kelly behind him and craft it into an advantage to himself.
If there's a way, he'll find it, because I kind of agree with you. I think one of the most surprising element of this election so far, and my gosh, the surprises keep on coming, witness the possible entry of Mike Bloomberg into the race. I think one of the surprises is that Trump really is pretty good at politicking. You know, he has literally like 7 people on his staff. This is not a guy who has a lot of money, who has gone out and hired an army of consultants and media people, et cetera, et cetera. It's really just a handful of people. And I talked to one of his surrogates the other day because we were both on a Fox show. The guy said, look, he's calling the shots, and I think it's really true.
Well, and all right, you know, I'm going to touch on this Bloomberg thing for a moment here. Michael Bloomberg would be a welcome addition to the race for the Republicans, because Michael Bloomberg and his extremely progressive left-of-center politics would draw votes down from whoever the Democratic nominee is. Usually a third-party candidate is really bad news for the Republicans. But as soon as Bloomberg says, I'll do this, his every town, his anti-gun message obviously would alienate pretty much all of the Republicans and draw votes away from. I mean, here's a guy who wants to tell you how much, you know, food you can have and how big your soda can be and you don't need guns. And he just, this is the nanny state guy. I mean, that takes votes away from the Democrats, not from Republicans. And I think Republicans would welcome him into the race.
I totally agree with you. I don't know whether Mike really thinks that this is an opportunity for him, that there's any long shot of actually winning this race. Obviously, the history is totally against him. I do think he wants a bigger platform for the causes he's really interested in, and you mentioned one of them, which is gun control. If it's Trump and Sanders, as an example, neither of those people is really supportive of the kinds of gun measures that Trump has been pushing through this Everytown organization. And there are other issues, too, which he, I think, feels are not being covered in this race adequately. You do kind of wonder if Bloomberg sees something about the possible Hillary candidacy that also makes this an itch he wants to scratch.
Well, I think
obviously
it's possible.
He's always wanted to run for president. The question is, does he now know something about Hillary's legal issues that make this pretty tempting? I don't know.
I think Michael Bloomberg's chances are somewhere about a snowball's chance, roughly.
I agree.
I think he's just another arrogant guy who thinks he's smarter than the rest of us and can tell us how we need to live our lives. And having said that, though, I'm still not convinced that Hillary Clinton will get the nomination. I'm not convinced that Bernie Sanders will get the nomination. And again, it's going to depend on how these things fall with the Justice Department and so forth. I think it's still possible. Everybody's talking about a brokered convention for the Republicans. I think it's entirely possible you can see a brokered convention for the Democrats. If Hillary is unviable and they won't get behind Bernie, well, then let's go to the next vote and the next ballot challenge. And I think you're totally right. Yeah. So let's talk about Trump. We got a minute or two left here. I found it of interest that he's pretty much hammered everybody on the stage, up and down the line for the most part. And yet in the last debate, he kept saying it about a couple different times. He said, John Kasich, I like him. I mean, the VP is the guy who goes out and drops the hammer on everybody. But when the guy at the top of the ticket's doing it, maybe your VP has to be a more tempered individual. And I'm trying to figure out who Trump might select as a VP candidate. And maybe that's some indication.
I think that's an interesting idea. Kasich certainly, obviously, what does he bring? He brings Ohio, presumably. He also brings some level of gravitas or capability. People do think he's done a pretty good job as governor in Ohio. He's a problem solver, and of course, that's what Trump likes to think that he could be. The only thing wrong with Kasich is he does not have current ties to Congress, but he has, you know, experience there too, and that might, you know, he might be a very good candidate. I don't disagree with you. And by the way, you know, my husband and I have been kicking this around for about 3 weeks. He thinks it would be very smart for Trump to come out with a slate of not just who might be his VP pick. That might be a little awkward to present now. But, you know, who might he see as Secretary of the Treasury or State Department? Or because obviously the big issue that a lot of moderate Republicans have with Donald Trump is his sort of shoot from the hip, not very measured style. So are there people he could pick that would give him standing, you know, and credibility? I don't know.
For example, you know, Ted Cruz may not be qualified to be president, according to Donald Trump, but he could be attorney general. You see,
great attorney general.
Right. And there's ways that you could make that work, you see. Or maybe Chris Christie is an attorney general, you know, you have different people that can play in different roles for sure. And that's an interesting concept. That probably wouldn't hurt Trump at all. I mean, here's my team, guys. Let's make it happen. Liz Peek, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too, my friend. Liz Peek, everybody. We'll be right back.